listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life on LA Talk Radio. Excited to hear today from our guest. I have a fun guest today who's going to talk to us about his version of the ultimate life and what it takes to create through ups and downs. Stephen Memel. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kellen. Glad to be here.
So this is exciting. I've known Stephen for many years and haven't ever had him in an opportunity to interview him and talk like this. So, Stephen, the stump the guest question that I always start with is, so why don't you tell our audience how Stephen adds good to the world?
How do I add good to the world? Well, I feel that the way I add good to the world is I help people to, God, that sounds like the typical start of an elevator pitch. I don't mean it like that.
It's okay. Just tell the truth.
I really do. What I do is, you know, people really want to express themselves. And sometimes they don't even know exactly what they want to express, or they've got a feeling of it. And they need to be able to identify that and then put it effectively into the world. So in coming from a background of the entertainment industry, voice and performance and working with all those people and then moving in and working with business people, entrepreneurs, I see that everybody struggles with the same thing. Number one, what is it that's really meaningful to me? What do I want to put into the world? And then how do I do that effectively? So I help with both because I train them with how to use their voices better, how to use their bodies better, how to communicate in a way that creates impact, the delivery. So that's something that most people struggle with, and they feel like they've got something inside that they really want to get out there. And it's a big challenge.
It is a fabulous challenge. And one of the things that, you know, what you're telling me is, people have something they want to say. I help them figure out what they have to say and how to say it powerfully.
That's basically it, you know.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, one of the things you've told me many times is you think a person's business should be the most authentic expression of themselves. So tell me a little bit more about that phrase, because that's something I'm repeating that I've heard you say.
Okay, well, you know, we all look for congruence in our life. And by congruence, what I mean is that place where what we experience inside, what we allow ourselves to be aware of what we feel, and then how we articulate that sense of congruence where all those things align into a very harmonious whole, that's when we feel the most fulfilled in our lives and our world. That's when we can walk around with that being the priority and the thing that is the most solid for us, then our life is very gratifying. And so I believe that when we're in business, what we do in our business should be a reflection of that. And really, whatever we are doing in our business is a reflection of where we are in achieving that process or that state at all times. So sometimes, you know, people are not quite hitting the brass ring of what's true for them. And so that's the business they express. So as you reach closer and closer and more core to the things that you care about and you stand for, your business is going to, if you allow it to, is going to reflect that more and more. Now, where that can be a problem is where people have judgments on what they think and feel, that that's not appropriate or that won't work or any number of those things. So they can sometimes seek what the experts are telling them that they should be doing or how they should be doing it. And that really never functions as powerfully as when somebody says enough of that. And I've just seen it happen recently with a client I was working with who we really tagged the expression, even just the very words of how she expressed that thing that she knows she does, but that has always struggled to find a way to communicate that. And in that, it's been a problem bringing her business to the level that she wants it. And she's been going to all the gurus who have been telling her, do it this way, do it that way, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But none of them ever felt really fully resonant for her. And she always felt like she was shoehorning herself into something. So that's what it really is. It's when what you feel and what you believe in and what you can stand behind is the most important thing to you, and you allow your business, whatever it is, to be filled by that and informed by that and be the living, breathing example of that, that's when real success happens.
So that's really good. So you made a reference earlier to coming up through, working with musicians and on, acting and other kinds of performance things, and people haven't really been introduced to you well. So tell us a little bit about your music, your acting, your stage, your other background that brings you to a place of working with people, their voice, their expression, because I know much of what you do. But anyway, tell our listeners experiences that you've had that have allowed you to see people at their most vulnerable, at their most glorious at the same time. Like, what kind of, where have you been? What things have you done? Tell us about that.
Well, when I was an embryo, I won't go that far back.
okay, good.
we don't have time for that, right? I always wanted to be performing when I was in grammar school. Then I watched the high school shows, junior high and the high school shows. And I kept saying, I want to be up there. And then I started going to live theater, real top stuff, and wanted to be there. And that's what eventually I led to. I trained as a performer, as an actor, as a singer, as a dancer, a composer, music producer. I mean, you name it, I've had my hand in it. And in the process, over time, people started asking me to teach them what I was doing. They either thought I understood it in a way that made sense to them when I would talk about it, or I was able to break it down for them. And so that gradually led into coaching, and until that became really the center of what I was doing. But in the meantime, I was in movies, I was on stage, I traveled the world doing shows. I've really been very blessed. I've done animation voices, it's a lot. So as the coaching grew, what I began to see was that regardless of what art I'd been in, regardless of what I've done, that the same exact principles applied to be able to achieve the greatest mastery in those arts. They were the same principles, because what I noticed is whether I sang or danced or acted or played the piano or wrote music, I was the common denominator in all of those things. So it became more and more clear that the more of a fully expressed me I could find that was strong, solid in the core, that the better able I was able to put myself into the world through any one of these avenues. And that if I had problems with that something in me, that also reflected in that. And it led me to realize that the central core of a system that I created called the Science of Switching On, which is there's only one art. That art is you. And everything beyond that is really what's the road or pathway through which you're taking that more or less fully expressed version of who you are into the world. And so,
no,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I love that expression. More of the different venues, different avenues of expressing that self in the world and how you do that, learning to do that powerfully, completely, fully, without the barriers that we, you know, we have and talk about in personal development is the key, regardless of the form of expression. So I just wanted to emphasize that. And people sometimes think, well, I'm different. Well, you are. But the path to getting to fully expressing yourself in whatever your medium, art, product, service, or anything else is, relies on the same principles, is what I'm hearing you
right.
say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And likewise, you know, that, well, I guess I should give you a little bit more of the journey, which is that through this move into coaching that I was fortunate enough to do, I also was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to work with some stars. And you work with one star and everybody starts thinking you're the eyes that works with stars. And so they, other people come to you, which is, you know, so Adam Levine from, and the group Maroon 5 clients, Halsey, Drew Barrymore. Even when I was 23, I somehow found myself sitting in front of the Lauren Bacall and getting her warmed up for when she was appearing in the show. She won the Tony Award for Woman of the Year on Broadway. And so on and so forth, and it just kept expanding. And you know, I've had really some great opportunities in the last couple of years. Some interesting new things came up. Well, I think between that time and this, what I also discovered was that entrepreneurs, speakers, people who had to communicate under any circumstances, whether it was with clients or on a presentation, virtual or otherwise, that they faced the exact same pitfalls and fell into them that entertainment performers fell into. They were the same things. I mean, one key that I'll jump into for a second is that, you know, working with a lot of singer-songwriters, my joke was that I earned a lot of my living teaching singer-songwriters what they wrote about, because people write a song from a particular emotional place, and then from that moment onwards, they sing about that place, not from that place. And the job is to create that immediacy each and every time, like you have never sung it before. And speakers and communicators fall prey to the same thing. They write a speech, but or a great presentation or a great sales pitch, but then as they start delivering it, what they're doing is they're reporting. They're doing it in the way they practiced. It's about the words. It's not about the original passion, the original need, the original drive that caused them to use those words to communicate what it was that they needed to get across. And so there's a real process of reverting that.
So I wanted to repeat that, because I want to make sure when I said it right, and too, I want the folks that watch this to think about this, because what you said is, gee, a person has an emotional experience and something really important makes a deep impression. And so the example you used, you write a song, but a speaker giving a signature talk uses a story or stories from their life experience or some piece of hero's journey or whatever it is. And when they conceive it or write the song or whatever, it is present, it is real, it is full, it is in their heart. They're experiencing those things and they reflect on that. And then as they use it again, the second, third, fourth, 50th, 100,000th time, they're talking about it, about that thing over there, instead of being in the thing. Yeah, and I love that, about that place instead of from that place. So I just wanted to repeat that. And then I want to ask a question. Sure. So you said that the singers, performers, business owners, all these people, they fall to the same energetic pitfalls. And so I want to make this as valuable as I can for everyone. What are the pitfalls? And you don't have to have an exhaustive list, but give names and specific. What are those pitfalls that performers or entrepreneurs in their capacity as performing their business, what are they falling into?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because about 10 years ago, I expanded into working with speakers and entrepreneurs and people on the business side of things instead of the entertainment arts. And it was really startling to see how many of the same things showed up. Like, I mean, something as simple that just occurred to me is when people go out to do something like stand up on a stage or appear on a podcast like this or any number of things, that the thinking will go to how am I going to do? And then what that does is that makes you the person being judged for your goodness or badness. And therefore it kind of moves the whole thing into our desire to try to be good rather than what's so much more important, which is what am I here to communicate? What do I want to help people with? How do I want to give? Like you said right at the beginning, how do I make people's worlds better? How do I, you know, or some question on that level. And as soon as I start wondering, am I going to be good? Or the degree to which I let that be operative in my mind, that's going to diminish my ability to impact, care about, and really deliver to any audience. And I'm very, very committed to that process myself, because when I am about to go on, especially if it's a circumstance that I may not have been in, I become rigorous with myself and I have a process I use, and this might be helpful for people. As an action step they can take when you start thinking, am I going to do well? Is this going to work out well? How am I going to do? You know, get the foghorn buzzer.
Oh, no, I'm going to suck. It's going to be bad. They're going to throw something at me, all that. Right?
Take yourself outside and do this. You ask, what am I here to communicate? Because if you're there, if you've been asked to be there and speak and represent something, it's probably because you have a level of expertise in that thing that other people don't have. And that if somehow you're able to get one single thing across that somebody who hasn't had your history or your experience might never have considered, but that might be an absolute core thing that can change their experience of what they do from that point forward. If you do that, you're successful. And that's what your goal should be, is to communicate your specialized knowledge, your vision, your empathy, your whatever it is, the thing that you want to deliver and say to people, this will make a difference in your life. If that's what you say, what am I here to do on that level? Your fears are gonna dissolve. Because the two things, how am I going to do? And I call that death by goodness, because we don't know how to be good, right?
Right.
You know, yeah, I have a whole thing about that. But we don't know how to be good. So when we're trying to be good, it's like we're a deer caught in the headlights. You know.
You bet.
But when you're, and you know this because you're so great at delivering yourself, you know, I have a lot of years behind us, and I'm just always so moved and impressed by your commitment and your passion and how you've made that something that you truly care about, and it comes from your soul. So that is something that's the first thing in that process, that two-step process. So one is, what am I here to communicate, and get crystal clear about it as much as you can be. The other one is the commitment. And I love that I said the other one is a commitment, because as I even say that, and as I realize I'm about to share this with you, I'm sort of, it's sort of filtering through my internal system and diffusing any little bits of my desire to perform well, and just gave me a big, which is, I am leaving this venue, this meeting, for goodness sakes, this date, feeling good about myself, no matter what happens while I'm in there doing it. And what that does is it takes your self-worth off the table. It's not up for grabs anymore. And you can even give you, like, I just had a little laugh. You saw me laugh a little bit a second ago because I thought about that and I went, oh, I guess I can do that right now. You know, I'm going to recommit to no matter what. And by doing that, it releases us. And then if we need to start again, we can say, let's go. Let's begin again. Rather than another pitfall, people try to do things right. So lots of times when we feel like things are going south on us, we feel terrible and we feel this clutch come up. And I think everybody knows that feeling. And then we try to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But so we try to fix it by making it righter, which is the worst idea possible. So that's another thing that this, you can stop and say, you know what? It doesn't have to be right. Or, and this is kind of a fun thing for people to play with, well, you know, I call it the quirky move. If I had just done, well, you know, and then not mentioned it like I'm now calling attention to it, you would have gone, oh, that was interesting or odd, or maybe he's really free, or God, he's kind of quirky or eccentric. You know, whatever you would have done, you wouldn't have gone, oh, he sucks.
No, especially, no, not. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Right. So what that does is it relieves us of this obligation to continue trying to be righter by doing something as wrong as you possibly can. And the funny thing is, when I've tried that, when I've had to do that in shows, when I've done really wild things because I just wanted to get loose, somebody, if not many people, will come up to me after the performance and say, you know, that was sheer genius when you did that. And they'll have a whole story worked out why your character did that, you know, that intersperses with, you know, intermingles with the story. So,
you know, I want to dive into that because it's a really interesting thing. Those are, and I want to, again, repeat this because this is two really good points. One, remember what you're there to communicate, because every single person that's ever got up to sing, speak, perform, or do anything has freaked out because they've got stage fright. They're worried they're going to screw up, forget their lines, right. Do whatever it is. Do it wrong, right? And your advice there is so precious. Like, none of that matters. What am I here to do? What am I here to communicate? What is the intention? And when you're focused on that, you can't be worried about anything else because you're thinking, here's what I have to give. So I'm going to give. I'm going to give that. And the second thing is such a completely different thing. And it's like, no matter what the frick happens, I'm leaving here intact. Okay. A whole person. Right. And I'm good to go. And I love the fact that it takes away, and this is what I wanted to dig into, it takes away this insane need that we have to do it right. And nobody even knows what right is anyway. To do it in some imaginary way that we imagined ahead of time would have represented right. If someone had asked us, what would doing it right look like? We would have described it a particular way, and we imagine our actions have to do that. And that's ridiculous on its face. It takes me so long to explain. It doesn't even make any sense. So what? How come? How important? Why is it so important or so powerful? Not important, I guess. Powerful is the word I'm looking for. To remember what you're there to do, and then just to be with the process of doing it, saying it, being it, as opposed to having this script running along the top. Here's right, and here's me, and then measuring the difference all the time. Why is that so powerful?
Well, to me, you know, you say, how important is that? I say, it's everything. It's everything. You're there for the people you're there with. And when you want to honor that time and that grace that they are showing by saying, I'm here to listen, teach me, take my openness and provide me with something that is going to be meaningful to me, because God knows we're all looking for greater and greater meaning and clarity about our lives. And if we have that, just how does that become more deep? So it's really everything. And why is it so important? It's because if you're not doing that, the word that comes to mind is being displayful. You're showing off. You're there to demonstrate your knowledge. You're there to, things that are about you and your ego. And if you're doing what you just spoke about, if you're there to really be there with the people and serve them, then your knowledge is going to show up, because that's something that lives inside you and is fluid. And you'll be creating the greatest conduit to that wisdom by your care and by the degree to which you are honoring the people and feeling, I have a responsibility to do something for you, and I'm going to do that at all cost, you know?
So the things that you're describing, I find very, very important, powerful, impactful, and so forth. And I know, because I know you, that your goal is, I started with, how do you add good to the world? And you talked about this thing, and we're just digging into more powerful principles. And we've talked a little bit about how it applies across all things. And then the line between performance and business and all this stuff just evaporates, because this is about humans interacting with each other and communicating meaningfully and powerfully, some showing up to listen, some showing up to share, and so forth. So I have a question. A person, anyone, you you have powerful things to say, but you didn't fall up this mountain. Like, nobody falls to the top of a mountain. It takes the work and the climbing, and most often struggles, dark things, failures, and sitting in the corner and weeping or whatever it is. It takes that stuff and then a conscious choice to move beyond that. So share a little bit of that. What are some of the things that have been the most powerful opportunities for Stephen to learn not just the principles, but the truth of the principles, right, which only comes from being fully exposed to life?
Right. Well, you know, your listeners probably know tremendous amount about the answer to that when it comes to you, because, you know, it's such a big part of what you share with everybody is how you rose above, how you healed yourself, how you came back to life. And it's the subject of your books and the subject of your music. And you and I have shared so much about that. So it's something they're very familiar with. How to share that succinctly, which I'd like to do, is always a challenge. But to say I had a difficult childhood seems like, okay, so tell me somebody who didn't.
Then that's okay. Tell me. Don't try to pretend. Just talk about it.
No, I'm fine with saying it, because it's the truth. I had a very difficult childhood. and some of us are more sensitive than others. Some of us are going to be more durable than others. And it doesn't mean better or worse. It just means what we came into this world with. Yeah. And I took on a lot of injury. And yet I had this enormous drive to express myself through the arts. And I had talents that seemed to show up. I wasn't a natural. People told me I was tone deaf as a singer. Now I coach Grammy Award winners. Well, because I was relentless about fixing that. But I did that in so many arts, but really what was the turning point was when I had achieved so much skill in so many areas, yet still when I'd go in to certain environments like auditions for interest and I'd have meltdowns and I couldn't access who I was. And I felt like, you know, it was a roll of the dice. And in this kind of a situation too, a roll of the dice as to whether that person that people would say afterwards, where have you been, you know, would say, or whether the other person who for him, English was not even a second language, you know, which guy was going to come there. And that is a terrifying place to be. When you have no idea whether or not the hand of God is going to touch you that day and the effective, resourceful you is going to show up, or whether the you that is going to not only be painful while you're doing it, but that you're going to suffer so much pain from because in the aftermath of having failed yourself yet again. And then when you put next to that, that's my last chance ever, which is the kind of thinking that, of course, contributes to the fall in the first place. That got so bad for me, I was really at the end. I was at the end. It was find a way. And there's more to it, but I'm going to stay with that. It was find a way or die. You know, I think that's what it comes to for many of us. And so I fortunately, I was blessed to have at that time people in my life who were the right support for that, who knew how to take care of me, who saw who I was. And that's the most valuable thing in the world. If you can find people who really see you and know, help you know that regardless of any of your so-called flaws, that you are valuable and loved and all that. And they can then nurture you and help you, help make the space for you to learn what you need to learn to be able to heal what has been injured. And so that's where the science of switching on emerged out of, was finding all those places, both craft-wise, psychologically, spiritually, just all the facets that coming together create, again, this integrated, harmonious ability to be present wherever I was.
Stephen, that's the very best explanation I've ever heard. And we've talked a lot of times about being in a place where you weren't sure which dude was going to show up, and then coming to the place where you beat the crap out of yourself afterwards. And lots of people are familiar with that behavior. But then coming, being able to, no wonder you call it the science of switching on, to explore what is required and what are the steps so that it's not a crapshoot about who shows up. The accidental genius or the accidental moron. And it's not a crapshoot because you've learned and now teach. So what a powerful thing, a backstory in terms of creating it. And now, and I just hadn't put it together, at least in that way, from how you talked about it before. So that's a very...
Thank you. And on that level, that's one of the promises I make when I go in and I have limited time to teach a group. What I talk to them about is that I'm, you know, what we have these on fire days. This is a shortened version. We have these on fire days. We have these slogging through mud days, but we really don't know. Very few people really know what it is that causes the on fire days versus what causes the slogging through mud days. And that's in the science of switching on exactly what I've been able to break down. We're not machines, but by and large, break down. So when we're looking for one of those days where we're on, what I tell people, certainly when you're on the stage or presenting or speaking, it's not about, am I going to be on today? It's a curiosity about what version of on am I going to be on any particular day? And that's a place of such solidity, and to have that as the way you are, there is very little that equals that.
So I want you to do something. I want to have a moment of teaching here. We've talked about this before a lot, and I love what you just said about it's no longer will I be on or off. It is I'm on. I know now how to do that. And there's different levels of whatever. Maybe it's not 20% of all of the things to add up to 100. Maybe it's 18 and 22 and whatever. So which version of on? And you've said that before about which horse am I going to ride today? Yeah. When you've talked to me before. And I love that too. I'd like you to take a few minutes and just talk about, and again, this is not intended to be in depth just because there's not time, but
sure.
Tell us the pieces that are involved in switching on. You made reference to spiritual things and physical things. And I love that you said, I'd gotten so good at so many things, because that is shorthand for, gee, I put in all this work to achieve excellence in my ability to perform and do things, skills, yet I didn't have that ability to assemble it so that right. It showed up together. So what right. are the pieces of switching on? Tell me about them. Tease me with them. What are they? And tell me a little bit about each one.
Well, it's an excellent question. And I have two basic models I use in the science of switching on. One is the five stages of ultimate performance, which is what I'll talk about. And the other is 10 key principles, which is another lens. But the five stages of ultimate performance are not linear stages, like you do stage one, you do stage two, you do stage three. They're like stages upon which one must become a master performer in order for the whole thing to really fire always. So those are the stage of body. Stage of body is about your craft, your skills. You have to have that channel, because if, let's say, you can't, you know, your throat seizes up every time you try to speak, that's going to, no matter how fully, you know, expressed you are inside, it's not getting out. You know, it's like a distribution channel, right?
Right, right, you know? Right. It's not going to happen.
Right, right. So that's that. And in that stage of body is also external things in our world that we have as possible obstacles that we set up, like showing up places late. That's an obstacle that wrecks your ability to be centered, you know. So then there's a stage of mind. And the main question there, though there's many other things, are the thoughts I'm thinking undermining me or supporting me? And that's where our stories live, but we have to be willing to even consider that what we see as true might be a story and might be a way of thinking about or framing something that we have, you know, in a way that does not serve us, that undermines us. And there can be another way of looking at the same situation that can provide an avenue for us to be able to move forward. And then there's the stage of emotion, which is to me the stage of connection. And in there, I work at connection on three levels. One is connection with self, because the most important communication you make is not the one you make with other people. It's the one that you make with yourself, because everything else emerges from that. So connection with self, then connection with your material or your content. That can even be what you want to talk about in a talk with your family. You know, I mean, it's whatever it is. And that has to be real for you and filled and true. And then you can connect with others. Because if you connect with others before you have those other two in alignment, it's very likely that you're going to speak falsely, behave falsely, look incongruent, you know, not come across as somebody who's really there. That, and then the fourth stage is the stage of energy. And a lot of patterns are things that we deal with in the science of switching on, these unconscious patterns we have that undermine us in the world. And our energy is one of those, because most people walk around at an unconscious, on scale of 10, at an unconscious 3 to 6, and they're not even aware of it. And we've never explored what is it being so simple that we're not doing our usual thing? And what is it that's going way over? Well, we fear doing that because we fear looking like idiots, you know? So we keep everything, right? And then the fifth one is what I call the quickening. And the quickening is ultimately what we want to get into, which I describe as a state of being where one is fully self-aware, yet completely unself-conscious. Fully self-aware, yet completely unself-conscious. Self-consciousness has in it judgment, criticism, right and wrong. Self-aware is just, oh, look at that. Oh, that's happening. And one can flow with it. You know, people call it the zone, people call it flow. I mean, whatever you want to call it, but it's a state that we can develop the skill to enter into at will. And, you know, go ahead.
That is so powerful. No, I was just going to say, enter into at will. That's the thing. You know, you talk about not knowing which person is going to show up. So I'm going to review that. You have a state of body, which is internal and external physical things, a state of mind, which is the stories we do or don't have, emotion, or not motion, but yeah, emotion, the connection with myself, my material, and my audience, and energy, which is, you know, 1 to 10, checking in and making sure I know where I am and I do something about it. And when you get those to the right place and you bring them together, and I know I've summarized them too quickly and haven't done them justice,
no, perfect.
But I just wanted to make sure I understood all of them. So I love that. And I have loved it every time you've said it, every time you've talked about it. I've seen you perform in an event, speak in an event on stage about that. And it makes so much sense, and not sense just in, oh, gee, that's a nice idea, but so much energetic and visceral congruity when you talked about that congruence, that it's a powerful framework, and those that get to learn from you in that context are blessed indeed. I'd like you to take a minute now and tell, or a couple minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, tell people what you're doing today. Like, what are the things that you're doing as you add good to the world, and how to find you, how to get a hold of you, how to find your stuff,
sure.
You know, share with what you're doing and how to find out more.
Sure. Well, and first of all, I also want to acknowledge you and say, you know, you've always been so giving into your support and acknowledgement of the work I do. And I've always been so grateful for that. So let me say, in a public venue, express my gratitude for that. You're a beautiful man. But, you know, I'm very fortunate that I get to move through many different kind of arenas and domains. And so I still have a lot going on in the entertainment world. I work with singers and actors. A singer I work with quite a great deal just had a number one iTunes R&B, number one on the iTunes R&B chart for a week with Swae Lee. If anybody listens to rap, they know who Swae Lee is, featured on it. So that was a real big deal.
Wow. Congratulations. I know you just did a television series a little while ago too, right?
Right. Right. I Narcos Mexico, which I love as a series. I was fortunate and I got the opportunity to work with the new young leading woman who, Luisa, Luisa Rubino, who was doing the narration that's a part of every episode that interweaves between the episodes, voiceover. And so I worked with her each week on that, quite a number of hours. And then I was asked to go in and work with her in the ADR, in the recording of it, on making it happen. So I'm very excited when you pass it on, you know, Netflix, and it stops on a little thing and shows you the vignette, you hear her narrating, I was there, you know? It was really wonderful, and it just shows you how brilliant things can be in the entertainment world, because everybody was so inviting to me and open to me when I came in, and really made it clear that I was there to give my expertise, and so did. So that was beautiful. And then I'm working with speakers and authors and coaches all the time on helping them focus their message and then how to deliver it the best possible, both language-wise and delivery, and then even strategy for their businesses. I'm working with two people right now who are building a consultancy in the medical field. And it's very exciting because it's about something that really, should it come to fruition, which I think it will, could make a real impact on our culture and our world. So really, the science of switching on applies in all domains, you know.
It does, and it's, I just totally get it. And I, from the beginning, I have seen a harmonious, I've seen the harmonious thing that you described. The problems are consistent across all domains. The activities, the words, the language, the development are consistent across all domains. How it feels and is articulated in different domains is different, but it's the same thing.
Right.
So how do people find you? And, you know, find out more. Like, they're going to hear this and they're going to say, I should find out more about this dude.
Well, you can always go to my website, which right now looks like it focuses more on singing and performers. But I'm in the process of adding on more that is directed at the other areas I work with. You can just go there and look around and send me an email. Or I have kind of a special offer right now, which is... And that's StephenMemel.com, by the way. StephenMemel.com.
With a V, so it's not PH. Stephen with a V. Right. StephenMemel.com.
And then the other thing, which a friend of mine suggested, I put together a 3-hour workshop that's about presenting, communicating, speaking, and it's more directed at people who are entrepreneurs, coaches, in business, small business professionals. And it's about delving into how one really supports whatever message they have with the absolute top delivery. Because as you'll see on the page, it says, what's the use of having an important, impactful message if your delivery undermines its potential, you know? And that's what it really comes down to. So it gets into not only delivery, how to create the message more in a more powerful, concise, unique way, but also what are the things that plague us, that can plague us, like our out-of-body experience when we get talking about something, or the feeling of we're going to forget everything, or all these other traps. I cover in this 3-hour workshop as much as possible. Now, it is a paid workshop, but for everybody on this, it's free. You can just go sign up for it. I believe it's the, should have thought of the date, but I think it's the third week in November. But if you go to StephenMemel.com/switching on, there'll be a landing page. And you can sign up for the class, and it is absolutely 100% 3 hours of free, really solid content. I'm going to show up to make sure everybody gets as much as they can. So if you're interested in finding out how you can speak better, communicate better, more clearly, get over whatever issues and nerves it is, check it out.
So I would recommend that you do that watching this. You're not going to get a better set of instructions than from Stephen. Stephen, I want to thank you for taking time to share your passion, your soul, your weirdness, you know, and everything else. Yeah. You know, just for being here with us, and then for that generous offer, and, you know, people to learn, to communicate effectively. Because people feel that, and they don't say it and do it. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really, really enjoyable. I appreciate it, my friend. All right.
You're welcome. So I want to encourage you all, listen to this more than once. Like the things that Stephen talked about, five parts, your body and your mind and your emotions and your energy, and then putting them all together into that quickening. I know, I've been through these processes he talks about. I know what that feels like. This is valuable. This is powerful. This will give you tools to express yourself fully, to find that deep and meaningful message that you have. And if you miss that workshop he's just offered you, you're dumping gold down the drain. There's an opportunity there to really learn and level up, not just learn, but level up your messaging, your speaking, and the power of your delivery. All of those things will help you create more cash, create more joy, create more purpose, and live into your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.